I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, and archived on TVTimeMachine.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to embark on a journey to a simpler time, an era before VCRs, digital cable, DVD players, and satellite receivers. A period of history whose innocence and simplicity was reflected in the shows we watched and the characters we all enjoyed. I'm Jim Benson. Join me, if you will, on a nostalgia-filled trip as we climb aboard the TV Time Machine. Our destination subject today will be the classic 1970s detective series Columbo. Lieutenant Columbo himself, Peter Falk, will discuss his book entitled Just One More Thing, while joined by television critic Mark Dowidziak, as they help navigate this particular excursion into the annals of classic television. We'll begin our exciting and fun-filled odyssey right after these brief messages. You're listening to a very special interview with Peter Falk and author Mark Dowidziak. Since our time with Mr. Falk and Mr. Dowidziak is limited, regretfully, we will not be taking phone calls during the course of the program. However, please be assured that any and all of your questions about the character of Columbo will be answered by our guests and by the following. Columbo drives an ancient Peugeot, license plate 044 APD. He doesn't carry a gun. He's a poor shot. He's easily winded. Columbo doesn't like great heights, flying, needles, elevators, the sight of blood, guns. He is prone to air sickness and seasickness. He has allergies. He needs 8 hours of sleep. He is frugal, a family trait, and compulsive about little details. He is not good with numbers. He likes pool, cooking, limericks, bowling, westerns, Italian opera, Strauss waltzes, golf, classical music, and football and television. It is normal for his blood pressure to be a little low. Little things keep him awake at night, and he likes to bounce ideas off his wife. He goes bowling when depressed. Mysteries relax him, but he can't figure them out. He can't hold on to a pencil. His favorite song is This Old Man. In 1972, he made $11,000 a year. His parents and his grandfather, who wore dentures, are dead. His very favorite food in the world is chili with crackers, which he eats for lunch between games of pool at a greasy spoon called Bert's. Columbo also loves coffee and drinks it black. His breakfast usually consists of coffee and a hard-boiled egg. Other favorite foods and beverages include hot dogs, chard, seafood, anything that comes out of the sea, root beer, hamburgers, raisins, candy bars, malts, ginger ale, and cream soda. He likes beer. He's been known to drink both scotch and bourbon whiskey. He prefers red wine to white. Cooking is a hobby. He speaks Italian and a little Spanish. He took it in high school. He can't swim. The Columbos have children, but the exact number is not certain. They also have a basset hound named Dog. Today on the TV Time Machine, we invite into our cosmic cockpit the man who created the quintessential character cop by the name of Columbo. Of the countless TV characters who have taken up temporary residence in our living rooms, few are as memorable, classic, and iconic as that seemingly dim-bulbed homicide detective working for the LAPD. As history has shown, there was only one man capable of breathing life into this legendary character, and his name is Peter Falk. Aside from his masterwork, Mr. Falk's extraordinary career has spanned 50 years, creating equally memorable characters on stage, screen, and television. Today, we are honored to be joined by Peter Falk and Mark Dowidziak, author of The Columbo File and television critic for the Cleveland Plain Dealer newspaper. Over the next few segments, Peter and Mark will explore Mr. Falk's vast constellation of artistic excellence, as well as that pesky personage known as Lieutenant Columbo. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to go mano a mano with our good detective, feel free to put on your raincoat as we slip from the restraints of the present and into a gumshoe world of the past. Peter and Mark, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Oh, that was quite an introduction, Jim. It was a great introduction.
Thank you.
But he talks too fast.
Well, that was digitally enhanced. I actually don't talk that fast. I actually talk very slowly in real life.
All right.
By the way, how's the weather where you guys are?
The weather's great where I am. How about you, Mark?
It's beautiful now. We're looking good. We got blue skies and we got sunshine, so we're feeling pretty good about ourselves.
Peter, you grew up in Ossining, New York. What was it like for you growing up as a young lad?
I love my childhood. Mm-hmm. I had a great time, and I had a great time in grade school and a fantastic time in high school. I love my years in high school. The high school in Ossining was a fantastic building, beautiful, And it had a great backyard. What do I mean by that?
What do you mean?
Back of the high school was the track, a mile track, also the football field, and the football field then became a baseball field.
Right.
And there was the grandstand back there. And the building itself, all brick, with a great front yard. Oh, I can't tell you how huge that front yard was. A front yard doesn't really do it justice. It was like a magnificent college. The grounds. The grounds were remarkable. That was a great school, Ossining High School. I loved it.
What were your parents like, and what did your dad do for a living?
My father owned a retail store, a dry goods store, women's and children's. It was on Main Street. And he opened up Main Street every morning. He was the first guy down there. He was there like around 6:15. He loved his store. He couldn't wait to get there. And he used to dress the windows himself. He didn't have anybody come in and dress the windows. He did that. And he lived for his store. And he was a great merchant.
What originally attracted you to acting? What is it about acting that you found fascinating?
Oh, I never analyzed that. I don't know what attracted me to it. The fact is, I like to. I wrote a book, and in that book, I talk about me and my buddy standing on a street corner in Ossining, New York. And if anyone would suggest that one of us four guys would eventually be knighted by the Queen of England,
wow,
we would all laugh.
Right.
That was a very remote possibility. My being an actor was the equally remote. Nobody would, for one minute, think that any of us four guys on that street corner would eventually be an actor. In my mind, an actor was an artist. And in my mind, artists were Europeans.
Mm-hmm, right.
And there were no actors or artists in Ossining, New York.
Right.
Ossining, New York was the home of Sing Sing Prison.
Not many actors there, unless they're playing prisoners.
No actors there. No, I didn't become an actor until 12 years after I graduated from high school.
Wow.
Graduated in 1945, and I became an actor in 1957.
Wow.
So one of the chapters in my book asked a provocative question. Why did it take me 12 years to decide to be an actor?
Yes, why did it take you 12 years to decide to be an actor?
You got to buy the book.
Ah, very good, very good. Well, actually, I did buy it. I did buy it.
Yeah, I can't do the question justice. But one of the things has to do what I've been remotely alluding to, and that is that in my mind, actors were not me, and they were not my friends. Actors were people who were endowed at birth with some magnetism,
right,
that the rest of us normal humans could only enjoy at a distance.
Now, Peter, how did these four words, "well, you should be," affect your life and career? Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yes, "well, you should be." I was hired as an efficiency expert. Can you believe that?
No.
I was hired as an efficiency expert by the state of Connecticut. And the first day on the job, I was an efficiency expert, but the first day on the job, I couldn't find the office. I went to the wrong building.
Jeez.
The office was in the state capitol.
Right.
And the state capitol was the biggest and most pronounced, most magnificent building in all of Hartford. Mm-hmm. And I ended up in the post office.
Jeez.
I didn't get a good start
No.
as an efficiency expert. What was the question you asked me?
Eva LeGallion.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You should be. Right.
Yes.
Right. All right. So I ended up, and I'm posing as an efficiency expert for the state of Connecticut, and I read somewhere, or somebody tells me, that Eva LeGallion, whom I heard her name, I knew who she was. She was one of the two or three leading actresses in the country. I'm talking about theater actresses.
Mm-hmm.
Katharine Hepburn, Eva LeGallion, and Helen
Hayes,
those
right.
were the three right. giants
yes.
of the American theater. And I heard that Eva LeGallion was giving a course for professional actors in Westport, Connecticut. That was about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive from Hartford, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm going to take this course because I had been doing amateur theater. And I wanted to be on the stage standing next to a professional actor. And I wanted to be able to compare me with that professional actor. So I signed up for this course. And it was once a week, and I had a drive from Hartford to Westport. Is it Westport? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I had about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive to get to the acting class. And because it was such a long drive, I was frequently late. And one day I walked in, and before I had a chance to even sit down, Eva LeGallion, this towering figure, just snapped a question at me, and it was so, she was really annoyed. And she said, "Why are you always late? Now, sit down."
Wow.
Well, I sat down, but I'd never stayed to the end of that class. I remember. Gee, it just came to me. She said, "Why are you always late?" That's right. And I said, "I have to drive down from Hartford." "What do you do in Hartford? There's no theater there." I said, "Well, I'm not an actor." And she said, "Well, you should be.
Wow.
Now sit down."
Wow.
Well, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. When she said, "Well, you should be," and it came from her,
yeah,
I believed it. When it came from her.
Yeah, and that, you know, that really doesn't happen in life very often, where you have a clarifying moment that completely changes your life, but you had that.
Yes, exactly, Jim. Exactly right. And it was so lucky. I mean, if I had ended up in another town instead of Hartford, I don't know whether I would have ever become an actor.
Mm-hmm.
But I was fortunate enough to end up in a town that had a tremendous community theater.
Mm-hmm.
So in Hartford, my day started at night. When I left the office, when I was no longer posing as an official. And I did one play after another in this community theater. It was called the Mark Twain Maskers.
Mm.
They were great. Just great.
We're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear. I'll be back in a lightning flash with Peter Falk and author Mark Dwidziak, who are traveling with us on the TV Time Machine.